This is In the Spotlight, where we shine the light on college students, our lived experiences, and the research to help us thrive. We're coming to you from the Clemson Honors College as part of CCARE, a special research group in the Creative Inquiry Program. My name is Taryn, and I'm a senior biological sciences major and sociology minor at Clemson.
Hi, friends. My name is Ashley, and I'm a senior genetics major and psychology minor at Clemson.
Hey, my name is Aaron. I'm a senior computer science major and philosophy minor.
Hi, I'm Julia. I am a construction science and management major here at Clemson. So how are y'all doing on a scale of 1 to 5 today?
So as usual, I had breakfast this morning and that was great. Aaron made cinnamon muffins last night. So I ate those this morning. No.
I mean, still, they were baked.
Betty Crocker.
Still counts. Put them in the oven.
Yeah, so we put them in the oven and we had them this morning. So it was great. So we got up pretty early this morning, so it was a slow morning. It was very nice. So I would say I'm at like a 4.5. The only reason I'm down a half point is because we have one more week before finals, and in that week I have an exam. So I have an exam 2 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
I would say I'm at like 4 or 5 today. I don't have a lot coming up. I feel like I got a lot off my plate, those small tasks that have been like in the back of my head trying to get done. I recently solidified an internship for the summer, so that's a huge weight off my plate. So excited for that too.
That's cool. Is it like somewhere near here?
Yeah, I'm actually doing it in Charleston. So,
I'm
a little ways away from home, but I've never lived there before, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, is that the really one fun. That you went to and you were like, I don't know if I'm coming down with the cold or...
Oh, not that company, but another one in the area, yeah.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll go next. I think I'm at a 3, maybe 3.5. Everything has been pretty good. Obviously, I ate breakfast as well. It was really nice. My dog died yesterday.
Aww, sorry to hear that.
So that made me pretty sad. But a little mourning is good, I'd say. And I'm feeling better today. So I don't know. I feel excited to tackle the rest of the week. But I have to put a little down because of that.
Aww.
But yeah.
So sorry. But yeah, I would say I'm at a 4. I think overall it's a good week, and I'm excited for the end of the semester and a break, but there's just a lot of things happening like in the next week. I have exams, and then I have a concert for choir on Sunday, so we have rehearsal tonight, and it's like 3 hours long, so and just graduate school application, so a lot of things. So that's why it's a little lower, but like overall, it's been a good week. But for the last several weeks, we have been researching financial health and how it affects college students. And before we begin, we just wanted to preface that we are not financial advisors, and all the comments made in this episode are just from personal experience. So please seek professional financial help in order to make informed decisions about your own finances. Financial wellness can look different for everyone, and we discussed what financial health looks like to each of us, so we're going to dive into that topic today. To get us started, how would everyone rate your financial health on a scale of 1 to 5?
Man, I really want to say 5, but it's definitely not even close. I would say my financial health has been on the increase. It's been on the up and up. So I'd say I'll give me a solid 3. For somebody who's in college, does not have a job, I think I am managing my finances adequately.
Man, I was going to say 3, but now that you're saying 3, I'm like, man, I'm like a 1.5.
I used to be a 1.5 like last semester, I would say.
Average for a college student, but now that he's saying 3, I'm like, maybe I'm below average.
Well, it's my senior year, and I now have a credit score. I think I wouldn't have had one to like, I don't know. So yeah. I think that big step that I took, is like, I don't know, this step I would never usually take on my own to have a credit score.
Yeah, that's
so
impressive.
Maybe I'm overestimating my financial health, but yeah.
And now that you're saying you have a credit score and you're at a 3, I don't. So I'm definitely going to go with 1.5 now. Definitely 1.5.
Yeah, I would say I'm at like a 2. I think that there's some aspects of finances that I'm better at, but then there's still like a lot of areas of financial health that I need to work on, or things that I like haven't really researched. So I would say we're at a 2, kind of in the same boat, just like being in college, not really having a job, so having to just be like smart with spending. But
I would say, I don't know, it's hard. I would also say I'm at a 3, but I think that's because personal finance, that realm, I feel confident in. And then like credit things, I feel confident in. I feel less confident in like investing, like, or retirement. Those things I don't know much about. I'm hoping that once I get like an adult job, like real life job, that my company will help me through that process, which maybe not. And so we will have to learn that then. But I think like money management wise, like I feel confident in that. And then Nathan isn't here today, but he talked a lot about like knowing about investing and everything. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely like a like deficit of mine. I don't know anything really about that.
We talked to, I think, like something that's important to mention with this question as well, is I know in our discussions, we had talked about how like how the number that we give ourselves a lot of times depends on like how we actually define financial health and wellness. So like, what does financially healthy mean to you? And like how, what things do you need to have in place to consider yourself financially healthy? And so I think for all of us, we're trying to approach it from more of like a well-rounded view. But like, if you were just saying like, oh, financially healthy is like just having savings or having credit, like things like that, I think it could change answers slightly. But I do think it's good to like look at it as kind of this holistic view of finances and seeing that like, oh, there's always room for improvement, or more that I could be learning.
Yeah, I think we discussed what financial health, I guess, looked like to each of us. And I think that I have more, like, I have a better answer now that we've been talking about this. Mm-hmm. And I think it is not only, like, a mindset, but I think knowledge, like, just knowing about things, it makes a difference between, like, having a healthy financial life and not. And I think the mindset part of it is feeling confident really in your finances, even if you don't have like a ton of money, but feeling confident in like knowing where it's going and how you're spending it. Like that's what financially healthy looks like to me. And also not being like too, I don't know, like stingy with your money, but also like being frugal. Willing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like being willing to give to others. I think that is a part of like a financially healthy mindset. Mm-hmm. So I think it's two different things for me, is like having that knowledge, but also having like a, I don't know, a positive mindset about money.
Yeah, definitely. I also think that like depending on where you're at in your life stages, like I know even for me, it's like my summer mindset versus my in school mindset. Mm-hmm. Like summer, I'm more like save. In school, I'm like, okay, work enough to like pay for this week. Yeah. You know, it's just a different mindset for different periods of your life too. Mm-hmm.
What you said about like that knowledge, like kind of defining financial health, I think it's very interesting because just like credit scores, I oftentimes see money. It's not really, it's not a literal game because of the implications, but in a way it's a game. The same way you can make it a game for like little kids to understand finances, like, oh, you have this money, you go buy this thing. It can in a way be a game, but you have to know about it. You have to know about credit scores and how things work. Mm-hmm. And when you have that knowledge, you have more control to what happens to you, and you'll be able to actually use your money for what you want to do rather than having things just being like happening to you. Mm-hmm. And so I think you become more financially healthy when you display that knowledge, because that also shows the control you have over your own finances and like your responsibility, all those things.
Right. And I think, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I think like you said, with like having things happen to you, when you have that knowledge, you can be more proactive too, versus like waiting for the next thing to come to you when you don't know about credit score. And then you like show up to get a loan. They're like not going to give it to you because you didn't have that knowledge before. But when you have that knowledge, you can be proactive. So it gives yourself more opportunities in the future too.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's why when a lot of adults don't know much, like don't have that high financial literacy, it becomes a big issue. Because they don't know what they're really doing with their money.
Yeah.
And I feel like most people, including me, are in that boat.
And I think it's easy to be in that boat. We read an article by Bianca and Bosco, and it was the financial literacy of college students. And it definitely like gave an overview of how easy it is to like not know about these topics. They talked about financial literacy and described it with its main components of knowing about retirement, investments, money management, and credit. There are a lot of components, I think, that we could break those down into, but those are the main components that article focused on. And they were reporting about the answers that like college students usually got wrong. And it just was very eye-opening because even some of the questions they were talking about, like especially again with investing, I was like, I don't know. I mean, I would have gotten those wrong too. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's interesting. I think that article led us to think about like, how did you learn about finances? Like what areas would you all say like you learned about finances from?
I'm going to answer your question, but one thing that when you were talking about that made me think of was I feel like sometimes too, like in college, it can be very easy for us to be like, oh, I'll learn about this later.
Yes.
Like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm in college, so I don't really have, like I'm not earning money because I don't have a job maybe. Or even if you do have a job, it's like a lot of your money is going towards just like, you know, living your college life. And so I think articles like this have really taught us and like opened our eyes to like, oh, it's important to start thinking about these things at least in mm-hmm. college and not just being like, oh, I'll worry about it later when I'm older. But to answer your question about like how I really learned about them, for me, I feel like a lot of it was just like personal research. I mean, I heard a few things from my parents, like very basic stuff, mm-hmm. but, you know, I'm also not like that well versed in like investment and like retirement savings and stuff like that. But as far as just like credit and like having a savings account and how to just like manage the funds I have, I feel like a lot of that was mostly just personal research. I was always like very, I don't know, growing up, I was always like, oh, I gotta save my money. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know where that came from, but I I feel like as I've gotten older, I've learned like ways to healthily spend money and like make sure that I still like have enough to live. But I don't know. I wish that I had like a, you know, set thing that I was like, oh, this is where it came from. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
And you took a class.
Oh, yeah, I did do that. I forgot about that. My freshman year, I took a, it was like half of a semester personal finance class. And I would say I did learn a lot about credit through that class. Mm-hmm. He talked about savings a decent amount, but it was very math heavy just for that portion. But that actually was a very good class to take. And I did learn a lot from that for a lot of like personal things. We didn't talk about investment or stuff in like that in that class, but it was a good, I would recommend like if anybody has a class like that at their university to take it and try it out. Cause I feel like even if you feel like you know a lot, there's still something you can learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like classes for me, I know accounting was like a huge mm-hmm. one because I think like just learning the difference between like assets and liabilities is just mm-hmm. very helpful and all the categories they fit into. But I would say like the start of my like financial literacy was just like dinner tables mm-hmm. or dinner table conversations with my family. But those were more along the lines of like the basic principles, like mm-hmm. Don't spend as much as you earn. And like I think those conversations just harped how important it is to be financially literate
yes,
and how being financially literate can give you so much more freedom than getting that good job, than specializing and becoming a doctor. Yeah. Like, becoming knowledgeable about your own finances is so important. I wasn't learning, like, oh, like, when you get a 401k, this is how it's taxed. Like, that stuff that I learned once I got out of, like, once I was more in college, listening to financial podcasts, reading books about it, taking classes, I learned more of that nitty-gritty details in those aspects.
Yeah, and I think that's helpful, like, to just know that it's important, because when you know something's important, then you are going to take the time to, like, actually research it or be proactive in your life and take agency over it. So I do think that, like, having conversations with, like, family and friends just about how important, like, finances are can help, like, start that that you thinking about, like, how am I going to take agency over this?
Right.
I think that's so interesting. I also don't have, like, a single source. Mm-hmm. And I think that I learned best, at least in the financial realm, at least in the financial realm, by doing it myself. So, and I typically only do it myself when it becomes very relevant. Mm-hmm. So when I come to college and I get a scholarship, it's like, okay, I have to manage this money. Or, you know, I used to, when I was in high school, just have cash.
I did too.
I used to play for, like, my own little jazz ensemble, and we used to get paid, and I would just have cash. That's like so sitting cute. In like a mini play safe I got when I was younger.
And so I would, like, a little safe that you would put the money in.
I had a little safe.
You know, that's better than mine. Literally lived in, like, a bin in my closet. So if anybody broke in, they knew exactly where to find it.
I had all my money in my wallet. So, okay.
Oh, she's walking around with, like, $500.
I feel like got progressively worse and worse and worse. She's like, I got locked in safe. And she's like, I got it in a box in my room. You're like, I carry everything on me.
Every penny.
Well, the safe had a little safety opening thing, too. So anyway, it wasn't that safe. But I wouldn't say I was financially literate, and I would just take this money and feel like I had to save it all, and I would be very stingy with it. And that's not very financially healthy, even though I was, like, quote unquote, saving my money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I didn't get a bank account until I really, really needed one. Mm-hmm. And then I get to college and I even learn about credit scores. My job, my internship over this previous summer was at a bank. So they even had, like, a little class where they kind of went over some financial literacy thing and talked about credit scores. And that didn't even get me to go and get a credit score. It wasn't until, like, I absolutely, like, I need a credit score that I went and got one until I got one. So I'm very much a person who does things as they come to me. But once I do them, I really learn a lot in the ins and outs about it. Mm. And then I have to know the importance of what to do and what not to do. And that suddenly becomes very important to me because I'm literally doing it. Mm-hmm. So, and I'd say also my parents have been a big influence on my financial development just because of the things that they mention. They always are very vocal about what they do with their finances. But once again, even if they mention, like, oh, you gotta have a budget, they talk to me about all these things. I still don't really know, and I haven't tried to do it. But until I made my own budget, that wasn't, like, until then, I wouldn't say I'm, you know, good at budgeting because I hadn't done it before, even though I heard it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I definitely think my parents instilled the principles, like all of you were saying, about, okay, like, make sure you have, like, set aside what you need for bills. And then you have, like, the extra money that you can spend on what you want. And, like, those big principles about money that can keep you, like, safe, I guess. But I think it definitely was a learning curve for me to figure out what do I need at this point in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, honestly, it was conversations with a lot of people and a lot of research that helped me, like, evolve, I guess. But I know that I said that I kept a lot of cash on me, but I think I kept cash on me, honestly, until I got a job. So I don't think that was that old. Like, I was pretty young when I stopped carrying that much cash on me. I got a job at 15 and, like, 3/4 because it was a thing in Ohio where you could be, like, 15 and a half, but then, like, once you turn 16, you could work more hours. Mm-hmm. So I was a lifeguard and a swim teacher. And so that was the first job where I was making, like, more money, I would say. Like, it was more of like an adult job. Mm-hmm. And that was when I like started seeing more money come in. And like, I was like, okay, I'm going to start saving. Like, I need a bank account. So I got a bank account. And then that was where I started seeing like how I could save and like where to spend. But it wasn't a lot of money. But I think like that's the thing is that in college, you're like, I don't have that much money. Mm-hmm. So I don't need to focus on creating a budget. I don't need to focus on like all these mm-hmm. things on like money management. But I think even like handling smaller amounts of money make you feel more prepared when you start getting mm-hmm. a lot of money. And I think having that job that was like an hourly job in high school definitely prepared me for college, where like I do have a scholarship and it is more like money coming in for me mm-hmm. to take care of like housing and all of those things. And so I think that had I not seen the ways that I can like split my check and like put part of it in savings and then put part of it in like my checking, I think it would have been harder for me coming to college, because I would have been like, okay, I guess this is like the money I have. Like, I don't mm-hmm. I don't know what to do with it. So.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point too, because I feel like whenever I first got a job was also when it was like, oh, now I have to like actually think about what to do with money. Because I think at first as a kid, you're like, oh, so much money that I can like buy all these things that yeah. I've wanted all like for myself, you know. But that's when you really realize the importance of like thinking before, you know, you make purchases, and just like also thinking about like end goals for yourself. Like, do you have long-term goals? Mm-hmm. And like being able to prepare for that. I think like a big part of financial health is like being very like aware of the future. Because I think there's like, I don't know, there's just a lot of things that you have to keep in mind. And you can't just necessarily live like just thinking about like this week, because saving is important. But also if you have, you know, the goal of like traveling and things like yeah. that. So I think it's good to have a somewhat futuristic mindset around finances.
Yeah, I agree. Now that you say that, like, I know we were saying in the beginning how personal finance or financial health is different for everyone, but I think that's one component that is universal, is like the long-term portion mm-hmm. of it, long-term thinking, mm-hmm. like switching from that. Because I feel like early in your financial health journey, people generally do have that short-term thinking. But once you switch to that long-term where you define your goals and like make proactive steps to set yourself up for it, that's like a universal effect of financial health.
Yeah, for sure. I think that it's been interesting to see how my financial health, like thinking back to high school, is so interesting, because I see now how much my financial health journey has evolved. Mm-hmm. Just when I start thinking about like, okay, this is when I got my first bank account, and now I have like credit cards and like still a bank account and working like a job part-time in college. And so it is a lot to manage, but I think it was very very gradual mm-hmm. in nature. So I think sometimes it can be hard, because you look at like these adults who have like houses and you're like, what's a mortgage? Like, how do they get a mortgage? But then you look at yourself now and you're like, mm-hmm. I didn't know about credit cards in high school. Like, I didn't have mm-hmm. one. And so like now, like, you can have one. So it just looks so different. But I think it's just like a slow and steady thing, which I don't think many people talk about. And like, we are going to talk about this more, I think, in like our next episode. But just having conversations with people and friends, I think it can be very overwhelming and like intimidating to see people graduate and they're mm-hmm. going to be making a lot of money, for example. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, I'm not going to be making that much money. Like, yep. That's just not the career that I went into. And so it can feel very discouraging at times. Like, you don't have enough money when mm-hmm. you really do, but you just need to know how to like make it work for you. So I think having those open conversations where it's not just about like the income coming in, but like, how are you planning to manage your money? Or like, how are mm-hmm. my friends managing their money right now?
It's kind of like you said too, like these things, it's a slow process. Like you were saying, it happened for you over time. And so I feel like if you are someone who's listening to this and thinking like, oh, wow, I'm like so behind, or you're feeling like you're behind, or like you don't understand a lot of these things, I feel like it's important to know that it's not something that happens overnight. Like, you're not just going to be able to like be completely or fully financially healthy overnight or learn everything that you need to know, you know, in 1 week. Like, it's important to be patient with yourself and give yourself time to like improve in one area. And then once you feel good about that, you can kind of move on to the next thing and like seeking out people who are knowledgeable in those areas so that you can begin to slowly grow. But just knowing that like you have the time to figure that out and like you're on your own kind of like journey to being financially healthy. So it's important not to like always be comparing yourself to other people who might have had, you know, exposure to resources that you didn't have or something.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm definitely a person who got very paralyzed by seeing other people take very good care of their finances and have all kinds of maybe a budget, credit score, all these different things that they're doing and saying, oh, I'm going to take all this money, I'm going to invest it into this thing. I'm like, investing? I have not touched that. Yeah. And so then when I go and like, I'm thinking, oh, I want to improve my finances. I'm like, well, now I have to figure out how much I'm going to invest. I got to figure out a budget. I got to like drastically improve my credit. I got to do all these things all at once. And it's hard to accept first where I am with my finances to know what step I need to take instead of looking where other people are with their finances and then trying to figure out what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. That's very difficult to do.
That is so true, because some of us start with like a play safe in a basket, but some people start with a wallet. And so we're all starting from like very different places, I think. And so I think that what you said makes a lot of sense, Erin, like starting like, where starting accepting where you're at and starting there instead of seeing where you need to get to, or in a lot of ways where you want to be can be overwhelming when you're not thinking about where you're currently at.
Right. I almost think that the first step is just recognizing like where you're at and taking out the social comparison part of it. Because I know that in a lot of articles it mentioned like your perception of your own financial health can be influenced by the people you surround yourself with. So I think just going back to like looking at yourself without the comparison of others, and then next step is like looking at your goals. So then you can plan ahead and just getting that knowledge base rather than stressing right away. It's important to recognize where you're at, where you want to be, and just get knowledgeable about the subject before you make any like rash decisions or rash actions.
And also the financial literacy article that we read already kind of pointed out that college students and your peers probably don't know as much about finances as you may perceive that they do.
Yes.
So even talking to them, you'll probably find out the different things that they don't know. And they'll be like, yeah, I'm here. Like, this is where I am. It's not like at the end goal.
Right. Yeah. I think that's definitely important to keep in mind. And all of this makes me like wonder, how has like everyone's journey in college or even before college, because we were talking some about high school and what we did in high school to get prepared in some ways to take care of our finances. What has your college journey with like finances been in seeking financial health in your finances? What has that journey been like for everyone?
I would say starting off, I was definitely a lot more reliant on my parents, and I am still, like, in terms of like tuition and stuff like that. I'm very fortunate that they helped me out with that. But I think when it came to like personal spending on my own, I started off not having a job, which I realized made me very stressed. So then once I did get a job, and even if it's like it was just a part-time job, like a few hours a week, it just gave me a sense of security, I think, than not having a job did. So I think that was definitely a huge step for me, and just in the here and now becoming more comfortable. And then also like starting to reach out to people whose careers I was interested in and like learning about their financial, like how they manage their finances and their career path was helpful for me as well. Just listening to podcasts, reading books on it, just all those things that kind of just bolster your confidence in like, oh, I am more knowledgeable about this. I am more prepared to do this. I do have like a security blanket of a job, just helps you feel more comfortable progressing throughout your college experience. And with like being more independent from that first year to that fourth year, you will gain a lot more experience and a lot more confidence over those 4 years. I think it was mentioned in the article, Financial Stress and Financial Counseling Helping College Students. They said grade level was one of the most important factors in financial stress. Mm-hmm. And they argued that like it's probably because when you first come into college, you're financially independent or have more independence than you did when you were living mm-hmm. with your parents. So mm-hmm. that first initial year, I think, is kind of a stressor for a lot of freshmen when entering because it is just such a new experience.
Yeah, for sure. I think that because I had a job for most of high school, I would say, part of high school. I think that it was definitely something on my mind. I was like, oh, like, that's just like a part of life is just like having like that income. And I think that I've seen over the semesters where like I didn't have that like income. I was just like, the money's just leaving.
Where did
like,
it go?
The money's just leaving my account and there's no more coming back in. Like mm-hmm. what is happening? So I do agree, like having some of like the security from having a part-time job, even if it's just a couple hours, can be really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, too, it's interesting because in college, it's like, you know, freshman year, I was living on campus. So I had, you know, like my housing was part of tuition and like my mm-hmm. meal plan was part of tuition. So I wasn't having to think about like budgeting for, you know, like a monthly rent payment or budgeting for food and different things like that. So I feel like throughout college, like the way that I viewed money and like what I was budgeting for changed some as well. And so I think that like sometimes the stress surrounding money for me almost increased like the older that I got or the more I went through college. Just because I think I was like, oh, there's more pressure now mm-hmm. to like have a job or to make sure that I'm saving enough money or earning enough. And also I had to think a little more about like, okay, what can I, you know, say yes to with certain friends? Like maybe I can't go out to dinner every week with people. Like maybe I have to be like, oh, you know, we're going to have like a picnic or something. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, it was more like freshman year. I came in and I was just like, oh, like I'll just say yes to everything, like always hang out with people and didn't really think about money that much because of the money I got from working in high school. I mean, all I was spending it on was like things that I wanted, really. Mm-hmm. I wasn't having to like buy things I needed. But I think progressively, like throughout college, that changed. And like sophomore year, I had a job on campus. So that also contributed to like not really being super stressed about finances because I was kind of making that income every so often. So it was like, oh, the money's not just disappearing. It's like coming back in. But junior and senior year, it was like, oh, I just work during the summer. So I had to learn how to make that money last throughout the semester.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting even being like in your last year of college because I think Ashley and I have had this conversation so many times, but we don't know what we're going to be doing mm-hmm. in the fall yet.
So
this time next year, we're just not sure what it looks like. And so it's very hard to create a financial plan mm-hmm. when you don't know where you're going to live or what program you're going to be in, whether or not you're going to have like a part-time job at that school if you're going to grad school.
Will you have scholarships there or any sort of like assistantship? So it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's been like a hard part about being in my last year is not knowing exactly what the next year will look like and not being able to gather that information mm-hmm. even if I wanted it. So I definitely see how it can be difficult like as you get older because you do have a different set of responsibilities than when you first come in.
That is interesting. You mentioned like kind of living on campus and having that meal plan and housing
because mm-hmm.
that was my experience, I guess, for my first 3 years. And I think it was interesting because I'm not used to having money that I'm like, oh, I have control over this. Mm-hmm. And then using that money to take care of needs, usually it's just wants.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have a meal plan, the mindset isn't, I have this budget for food. It's like my foods, I have these swipes for food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I go and spend money on other food. And then I feel like that leads to me not being financially healthy, because then I have this perspective that I can't go out to eat because I have to eat the meal swipes, which is what I'm supposed to be eating to take care of myself, my needs, instead of seeing my money and budgeting that out in any sort of way to take care of some of my needs, because I can't eat dining hall food every single day. Yeah. In fact, at my last semester, I didn't have enough meal swipes to eat every single meal at dining hall. So why would I expect myself to do that? I needed to budget that out.
Yeah.
So as to not be very stressed all the time. Yeah. So I think that's a very interesting switch to then going off campus and budgeting rent and food and all those things.
That's true. There isn't much of a transition there because it is this feeling of everything's taken care of, especially so at Clemson, I believe you have to get an unlimited dining plan your first year. Mm-hmm. And so I swiped through the dining hall just to get to the other side if it was raining. It just was not, it was not something where I had to think about. I didn't have to budget. It was just I go to the dining hall, get an apple. It's just not, I'm not thinking about what that food costs or what it means to go and get food. Mm-hmm. And so now when I go to the grocery store and I pick up an apple, I'm like, I need this to live, but my goodness, I want to put it back. So I think that is just interesting, going from living on campus to living off campus and then really needing a budget. You have to budget out for, you have to budget out for rent. You have to budget out for food. You have to budget out for what times you're going to eat out and what times you're not going to eat out.
And you're commuting usually to campus. I mean, there are options to not commute. I mean, you could take public transportation, but if you are going to commute off campus, that's also an additional cost of something you have to budget for gas. And so,
there's a lot to think about. And so does anyone have a budgeting system that they use? I know that changed the question a bit.
Not I.
Hence, we all look at Aaron.
And I'm Aaron, you want to fill in here?
Aaron?
Well, when did I create my budget sheet?
It was July.
July of this year.
2022.
And it's nothing crazy. I know it's all quiet all of a sudden.
Yeah, we're just waiting for these words of wisdom to enlighten
us. Tell us what to do.
I opened a Google sheet and I just made a budget sheet. I was like, estimating how much I would spend on in certain categories of rent, groceries, gas, all those things. And I had little places to input all my purchases, and I budgeted out. Basically, by those estimates, budgeted out the money that I had. Since I'm not having consistent income each month, I kind of have this is the money I have to work with. So how am I going to budget it over my last year of college? And so having those categories, having how much money I have, and then seeing how much money I have at the end. And then that being flexible to really trying to estimate how much am I spending now to get that to be accurate. And then once I have that information, that knowledge allows you to make changes. Without that knowledge, you can't make changes. I can't say I'm going to eat out less if I don't know how much I'm eating out, or if that's even what I want to change, or how much am I changing it, and then it'll be very stressful. So it's been very helpful having a category where I'm like, I think I eat out this much, or I actually eat out this much, and then saying I want to eat out less, and then spending $50 less when eating out. I just use Google Sheets, and I just made my own little thing, but there's lots of different tools out there that do it for you that could work.
We may link some of them in the podcast episode description. That there are some podcasts that I know that we listen to, and then as a group in different budgeting apps and things that we've heard about. So does the budget sheet require work? Because I think that's where sometimes it can be difficult to create a budget or use any type of budgeting software, is that it takes some level of discipline on your part.
Yeah.
So is your system effortless?
No, not even close. I would say a lot of effort to create it and a lot of effort to maintain it as well, and different changes you have to make. And then inputting your purchases, not everybody does that anyway, like all your purchases, inputting all of them or anything like that. But that is how my budget sheet is set up. So that can be, that's a lot of work to do constantly. And the less frequently you update it, the harder it is.
What is the frequency in which you update it?
Well, I don't update it at all.
I'm the one that updates the budget sheet.
Okay.
So I update the budget sheet every morning.
Every morning?
I would do it like once a week.
I was like, if okay, not, maybe like every other week.
If not every other day.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
But it's just like,
but I guess it takes you, I was going to say, mm-hmm. I guess it would take you less time if you did it daily, because it would take you like a minute to just do the one or mm-hmm. two purchases each day versus trying to take like, I don't know, 30 minutes to an hour on one day to input everything.
Do you feel that by doing that in the morning every day, since it's in the morning too, like it kind of shifts your mindset? Like, have you noticed a shift in your mindset with your finances since doing that, making it a habit every day?
I think I feel a lot more confident in like the finances mm-hmm. just because like I see the numbers, like I know what we're spending, I know where the money's going, I know how much we're spending on groceries, like I just know so much mm-hmm. because of the budget sheet. And so really, if I do it every day, I'm only inputting the purchases in from the last night, which may be one, which is like if mm-hmm. like one of us went grocery shopping mm-hmm. or if one of us like bought something from Amazon, mm-hmm. that's what I put in the budget sheet the next morning. So I think that's the thing though. It's like, it sounds like a lot and the frequency sounds kind of crazy, but I think that's the difference between why people want to do their budget sheet and why people don't. If I woke up every morning and had a list of like 35 things I had to categorize and put in the budget sheet, I don't know if I would want to do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I could find time to do that. Mm-hmm. But taking, I don't know, I mean like 10 to 15 minutes is like how long it takes every morning to input the few purchases from last night, I think is, I'm willing to trade that time to like have the amount of knowledge that I have every single month from the budget sheet.
That's really cool. Now, if you see like the Aldi bill goes up by like $10, you're like, Aaron, would you buy that?
Exactly.
You need to see what each other are purchasing.
Yeah, I know it is. It creates like this weird transparency mm-hmm. thing where it's like, oh, he ate out at Cane's today. Mm-hmm. Let me put that in his personal spending.
Mm-hmm. Let me put that in his personal spending.
Yeah, there's a Chick-fil-A fiasco at one point where we had to like put in multiple purchases for Chick-fil-A.
Oh, my goodness.
I ordered Chick-fil-A and it was to the wrong place because the Chick-fil-A on campus, they're no longer doing Grubhub.
Oh.
And so I chose Chick-fil-A on instinct. Or a habit. Mm. And it was the wrong Chick-fil-A. They were like, oh, it's not the right Chick-fil-A. And I'm like, well, I'm not about to walk over there. So I ordered another meal. Chick-fil-A. And the other meal, I guess, just sitting there. I don't know.
They never made it, probably. But, yeah.
Maybe.
Wow. So then he left. And then that, I was like, but I was in class. So I think he had went to class. So then no one could get this Chick-fil-A. So.
That's disappointing.
So did you get Chick-fil-A at all?
Oh, no, I got Chick-fil-A.
Okay, I was like, wait, you tried to order it twice?
We paid more for Chick-fil-A than we needed to pay that day. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. It's funny because I think stuff like that sometimes can really frustrate me. Like, I'll be like, oh, my goodness, like, I had it. But my dad one time was like, don't sweat the small stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, sometimes I think that is important with finances to not, like, get so caught up in like all those little things. Like sometimes you just have to like move forward.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think seeing like how much it didn't affect like our overall budget was very helpful. It's just like a part of it.
Yeah. So. It takes the stress off of every little decision that you make or every little mistake. It's like, this is not going to make or break my finances.
Yeah.
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 We've definitely also like made mistakes with our finances before too. Yeah. Like it's not our budget sheet as like, oh, Aaron and I are married in college. We're married. That's why we have our budget sheet together. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think our listeners knew that mm-hmm. or even knew when we started dating.
Nope.
So, yes.
Woo!
We have, like, made a lot of mistakes with our budget sheet or even with, like, credit cards and had to learn and grow. But everything is fine. So I think that, like, I don't know, being okay with making mistakes is very important. Mm-hmm. In this process of like growth in college. So, yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts? Anything else?
I think just Chick-fil-A is more important than budgeting is what we're thinking the inclusion of.
That's a takeaway.
That's the only takeaway that you guys take from this.
Go get a chicken sandwich for us. Well. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Please like the podcast. Do you like
please
it?
Give our podcast a rating.
A rating.
Follow.
Press that like button, comment, and subscribe.
Where's
Nathan? Where's Nathan?
Nathan's a woman. He's not here.
Everything is just ruined.
I said like, and I was like, wait, where's the podcast like button?
It doesn't exist. I think you can just follow, right? Follow.
Yeah, you can follow. You can hit. There's a button on the top right of your screen, and you can hit follow there. And there are different places to follow in different apps depending on where you're listening. And then you can also rate the podcast and rate us well.
Yes. Leave us a nice review.
Yes. All right.
Thanks
we'll
for
see you
listening.
Guys next time.
Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.